Segment number two of In Focus, continuing here on News Radio KMAN. We've got Riley County Police Department Director Dennis Butler joining us here this hour. And had a question here, and I don't know that you'll have the answer to this one, Director Butler, but someone texted in here, why can't robocalls from local phone extensions be traced?
You know, I'm sure there's an answer to that question. I just don't have it. That technical question's above my level of expertise. I know they can be traced to a main number of a business or a person, but I'm not sure what the technical issues are about an extension. So I can't help with that.
All right. Well, we were talking during the break about getting calls from numbers you don't recognize, and unfortunately, this time of year, it seems to be a little more rampant because of scams that take place. And it's maybe a good reminder for people to just, if you don't recognize the number, don't answer.
Yeah, I sound like a broken record. That's what I do. If I see a number pop up on my work or personal phone and I don't see a name attached to it, I don't answer it. And almost always, it's a solicitation that I'm not interested in, or some kind of attempted scam from the IRS or Social Security or someone else threatening me with something because I didn't do something that they claim that I should. So I have pre-made text messages. Often I hit that and I'll get a message back saying it's a landline and it won't accept it. But either way, I'd say 95% of those calls are ones you don't want to talk to someone, so I would just urge people not to take it.
All right, very good. Yeah, I'm with you there, and it's not that hard when you get a number you don't recognize. Just go on Google, right? Type the number in, see what it is, and if it recognizes it, then as a local number, then great. But if not, yeah, most times that's probably the case. It's probably just a scammer or a robocall. We have another caller here with a question. Let's take them. Go ahead.
When they call you and say you won the lotto, tell them, yes, I got the money and I'm spending it right now. Thank you so much. And they, lose interest in the phone call right away. But In Focus had the District 1 Riley County Commissioner on last week, and we were able to talk to him about the availability there at the county courthouse plaza of the empty building. Talked to him about not tearing it down. And he had said that he was open to suggestions for your administrative space needs, and even the Pawnee Mental Health Police Aid having a place. You know, if you put the 911 dispatchers on opposite sides of the same wall in two different offices, they could share the equipment in isolation and quarantine if they're not, having the symptoms of spreading the disease. But just something to think about. Thank you so much for all your efforts.
You're welcome, and I always appreciate suggestions like that. And I think I mentioned this the last time I was on In Focus, that, as you know, the county owns all of the facilities that the police department occupies and uses. So these discussions would include them. I know you were talking to a new county commissioner, or maybe it was one of the existing ones, but our antenna are always up trying to figure out short and long-term solutions to needs that we have here. So, again, thank you for bringing that up.
Yeah, absolutely. And, of course, there's always feasibility concerns, I imagine. When things come to that, I don't know, the challenges of having somebody in a building maybe separate from the rest of the police department, if that's ideal or not. But, I guess that could be an option.
Well, for lack of a better description, there are 911 centers, standalone centers in other communities where they're not in the same building as the services that they take calls for, police, fire, EMS. So that's not an unusual, I would say it's uncommon, but it's not unique to do that. There's a lot of moving parts in making that happen, but there are ways to do it.
Staying kind of on the 911 theme here, I know you recently got the upgrade here on the radios. It's been a couple months now. How well would you say this has been here for you guys? Are you having better communications within the department now because of that?
When you say within, do you mean within the building or?
Well, within. So, like, if somebody's out in the field and they're covering something, then.
Yes, we had quite a few glitches in the beginning that were causing problems. We're making great progress on that. We're still working with the radio vendor and then another vendor that we're working with on the installation of hardware in our cars and in our buildings. We were having some problems in the county courthouse with coverage. That's been resolved. We were having problems inside the jail. That's been resolved. There's been some other areas in the community that will take some tweaking of antennas, maybe pointing them better or tweaking the power of the signal reception. There are some places out in the rural part of the county where we're always going to have minor problems, but the goal was to have coverage, clear and reliable coverage in 95% of the county, and I believe that's been achieved. We're not quite there yet, but it's much better than when we first went live. So I'm happy with the progress.
Yeah, and I know a big change of that, having the upgrade, is to not have all of some of the very private information that goes out over those airwaves. It makes it a little easier for you guys to do your job. But how much more of a pressure does that put on, you know, your PIO and others to make sure that stuff is still getting communicated to the public?
Well, you know, it's an interesting question. He hasn't said anything to me about seeing a spike in his workload. And I would just attribute that. I wasn't expecting this question. I would attribute that to the practices we have in place now for sharing information on social media, also on our website. So I think we do a very thorough job of communicating with the public about things that they normally would be interested in. Obviously, when it's unfolding, there's a delay in that now. But he hasn't said anything. I'll have to ask him about it after the show.
Okay. Yeah, I haven't seen any significant changes there myself. I just thought that might be kind of interesting. I'll tell you what, we got another time for a break here. We'll come back. We'll continue on with Dennis Butler. He's the director of the Raleigh County Police Department, joining us here on In Focus, News Radio KMAN.